Hello, hello. My name is Divan. I'm a songwriter and performing artist from Belgium. With my band Divan and the House of Qua, I made a record called The Gay Tapes, capturing gay life in both original compositions and cover songs. With The Gay Tapes record now comes The Gay Tapes podcast. I'm thrilled to share some fascinating conversations I had with queer artists, activists, and other interesting gay voices. Whether or not you already heard the record I made, you're welcome to the Gay Tapes podcast. Gay Tapes. For this episode, I had the chance to talk to an American who lives in Europe.
The Gay Tapes.
He had some interesting things to say about the LGBTQ plus community and about his country.
The Gay Tapes.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in Valencia, in Spain, at the DIY Music Conference from CD Baby and Berkeley. And at the first night at the cocktail party, I met a guy who was enthusiastic about my project, The Gay Tapes. And he told me a little bit about his career and his life. And I thought, I have to have this man in the podcast. So welcome to The Gay Tapes podcast, Mr. And now I'm going to try it, Rhys Gilliatt.
Super close.
Oh, what is it?
Rhys Gilliatt.
Gilliatt. Okay.
A little softer.
Little softer.
Yeah.
I would describe you in a little tagline as an American actor, vocalist from New York living in Spain.
Correct. That is right on point. Nailed it.
But probably there's a longer story.
There is.
We learned in the conference that you can have this tagline, but you can also have the long bio. Can you give the short bio maybe?
I know, the short bio.
Yeah. Who are you? You can do the long version too. It doesn't matter. Okay. We have time. It's a podcast.
Fantastic. I know. First one.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Who are you?
I'm Rhys Gilliatt. I moved here from New York about a month and a half ago to Madrid.
So recent.
Very recent. Yeah, super new. But my boyfriend and I spent about 5 or 6 months last year scouting out Spain and just picking our favorite cities and areas.
Okay.
So
he's not from Spain either.
He's not. No, he's a Portland, Oregon boy.
Okay.
Yeah. And but we met in Arizona, where I'm from originally, because I knew his uncle.
Okay.
So we met out there, and I was taking a little break from New York, from the city, and I was living in LA for a couple of years, and we met and lived there, and then decided we wanted to explore Europe and come out here.
Okay. And you are a vocalist and an actor?
I am a vocalist and an actor, yes. I did a lot of theater while living in New York, and I also worked a lot with composers and songwriters, singing for them with the BMI graduate workshop for musical theater writing. So cool. A lot of musical theater composers, actually. And I do a lot of falsetto work.
Okay.
I did a concert of Frankie Valli music where I was their Frankie for about 3 years, and the concert is still running. It's doing really well.
Is that in Madrid then?
It's not in Madrid.
Okay,
no.
You travel to
I used to. I helped put it all together, okay. And then I left the project a couple years ago, but it's still running really well, and it's a fantastic show. It's called December 63.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you miss the stage?
I do, actually. I was back in New York for a few months this winter, and I was able to perform for a new musical at New York City Winterfest.
Okay.
It was a parody musical of Alien. It was called Alien versus Musical. And at one point, I was a nun. I was Mother Superior singing as a woman.
There's not many nuns in the original Alien movie?
There are not.
Okay,
no, the whole premise was... No, there's not. The whole premise is that Alien lands in the land of musicals.
Okay.
And
Little Sister Acts.
A Little Sister Act moment, exactly.
Okay, so great.
It was a lot of fun. Really fun
because
project.
I read online that you also specialize in women voices, no?
In female voices, yeah.
So that's an example of that.
That's an example of that, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we wrote, they helped like mix the song so that way it was, it worked in both ranges. I started in the high soprano range and then dropped into gospel tenor.
Okay, and how did you end up in music? Did you study it or did you start?
I did, informally, however, because my mother is actually a musical director. Okay. So my entire family grew up working and living alongside her in the pit of musicals with the orchestra. So we were doing choirs from when we were three. So I got a lot of my training through my mother.
Yeah.
And then I still have various teachers that I train with ongoing in New York as well.
Do you teach yourself?
Did I teach myself?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I taught myself. I would say I learned from really incredible people.
Okay, but do you teach others? Do you teach others?
Oh, no, yeah. I don't teach.
Okay.
No.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. It's not something I've explored quite yet.
Good. Why do so many gay people love musicals? I was wondering. That's really a thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Why? What?
Oh my God, that's a loaded question.
So it could be a loaded interview.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. Well, for me personally...
Okay, let's start there.
Yes. Yeah, I grew up in Arizona and Utah. So we were listening to a lot of choir music and a lot of musicals because I was raised Mormon. So those were, that's what we listened to when we were kids. They were good, wholesome places to learn music and perform. That is obviously not everybody's path. And there are other shows of musicals that are not, as wholesome, of course.
Okay.
But for me, I think musicals really sort of embody an expression, a place that gives you freedom of expression and teaches you to emote within a story, within music.
Okay.
So that's what I truly love is the stories that you're, you know.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I think that's what draws a lot of LGBTQ+ people to theater is the inclusiveness, the freedom of expression, an incredible community that supports you in your art and in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a natural place for us to find a welcoming environment along with incredible music.
And can I go back to your childhood? You grew up in a Mormon
household
community, where, or is it just in my idea where being gay is not the most plan A?
Plan A was, it's not, yeah, it's a good way to put it. It wasn't plan A. Mm-hmm. That's just a loaded interview. Mormon,
You don't have to answer it.
No,
I'm
very comfortable with it. I count myself very lucky because while there are a lot of negative aspects of many religions, and even within the Mormon community, I was not privy to them, and I was raised in an incredible family.
All right.
That, while very religious, was also in the arts and very opening and nurturing, and. So there, it was an environment where I could still be myself, even if it wasn't necessarily plan A from the beginning. I grew into it, and my family grew with me.
Okay, cool. Because your mother was a musical director.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
I guess she has a lot of gay friends.
Absolutely. And her bosses, you know, friend of Mary. And
Okay, cool.
So it was,
you didn't have to explain to her what it was.
I was pretty flamboyant as a child.
Okay.
It was pretty obvious from the get-go. I got a little more bro as I got older.
Yeah. So that community just, from musical environments, just taught you how to be flamboyant? Was it nature or nurture?
Oh my goodness. I would say that I am an exuberant personality already, and... it allowed me to be myself.
Yeah.
Which is great.
You were born with jazz hands.
I was born with jazz hands and a sequined vest.
A what?
A sequined vest.
Sequins,
like the sparkles. The
Oh, yes. Okay.
I was in show choirs when I was like two. Sunshine Generation.
Oh, God. It's great. And it's such a nice story that your family embraced who you were.
It's been, like we said, we grew together. And they're my biggest fans, and I'm obsessed with them. I'm grateful for my family.
Okay, great. And how long have you been together with your boyfriend now?
2.5 years.
Okay.
He probably would know the exact number better than me.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put this out exactly to your name.
Yeah, right. And then he'll send you an email and correct it. Yeah.
Okay. You can always lie that it was recorded way before. So
exactly.
No problem at all. Cool. So you ended up in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
You left America.
I did.
The US. Was Donald Trump one of the reasons or not?
It was not one of the major catalysts, no. I've always been a huge traveler. And,
okay.
I've always had a desire to live abroad. Mm. In fact, actually, I feel sometimes a little guilty of leaving the States at this time, which I've had to, you know, figure out in my own mind about it. I didn't leave because of the current political situation.
Because we in Europe, we watch America. Mm-hmm. It's on the news every day. There was a time when Obama said some beautiful things about the community.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned the Stonewall riots, I think, in his inauguration speech.
Of course.
And that was such an uplifting period.
Yeah.
We thought, okay, America is
on going the right track.
On the right track, indeed.
Yeah.
And then Trump came, which I think everybody I talked to in America could not understand how he won, but he did.
He did.
And then then the things he said in speeches and debates and the laws about transgenders in the military and stuff were so frightening. Like, what is happening? How are you were you dealing with it, or you and your friends?
Oh, it's incredibly frightening. And it was, I'll say, election night was a devastating experience. And it was actually, I was leaving the country the next morning, so it was very surreal to have that happen as I'm leaving the country and then come back after all of the marches and demonstrations. And I'll say that, yes, it is terrifying. It's been very scary hearing the words and watching the rise in anger, or rather seeing the spotlight in anger that may have already been there for a while. Mm-hmm. Our community has really rallied, I think, and it's kind of taught us as a younger generation not to take advantage of those. You know, we had 8 wonderful years where...
And to take it for granted.
To take, exactly. Yeah. And this has sort of given us a bit of an awakening that allows us to sort of tap into the activism in all of us that we all have innately, I think, in our community. And
are you involved in the community or an active as an activist or
not as much as I would really like? I give as much as possible to to the community, to organizations, HRC, everything that I can give out there, and I join in the marches when I can, when I'm able.
Okay.
I'd it's like to do more.
It's important.
It's very important. Yeah. It is.
Have you been to a march in Madrid already? I heard it's crazy.
They love to demonstrate, and I love that. I love when a community is vocal.
June? In June, no?
June, yeah. Yeah. Orgullo is Pride, and it's actually, we were in Pride last year for Madrid.
Okay.
It was beautiful. It's a wonderful city and incredibly supportive of the LGBTQ+ community, and like Pride was, it wasn't just the parties. It wasn't just like a Spanish fiesta at all times.
Okay.
It was really, really wonderful to see everybody across the board, allies, just march.
So in America, could you say you had a friends group of LGBTQ+ people, or is that very mixed?
Mine's pretty mixed, just because, I mean, as musicians, and especially in theater, you end up in contracts in different states, different countries a lot of the time, so you make friends that are spread out a bit. I do have a really strong core of beautiful, lovely LGBT friends and community, and they are my favorite humans in the world. But they're a little spread out. They're not like in just New York.
Okay.
You know, I have incredible friends in LA and Seattle, Phoenix, New York, kind of places where my roots are.
Okay. I've been to New York. It's the only city I've been in America.
Okay.
And it felt very liberal and European almost. Mm-hmm. I was in Brooklyn, but I've been to the Brooklyn Pride by accident.
Really?
We were there, and it was...
That one's a fun one.
It was a real fun one, and really small. And but people told me, this is not America. This is New York, and don't get surprised when you travel in the countryside and there's a lot of other feelings towards the gay community. Is that something you can...
Absolutely. First thing that I will always say is that the United States is massive. If you put it in scale of any other country, you're going to have so many different just regional mindsets. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. is the great experiment of putting all of those together, which is a beautiful thing, our structure. And when you are going to different cities in the U.S., you sometimes have to treat it as going to a different country. Yeah. You really do. Okay. New York is entirely different than L.A., and they are both considered very liberal places.
And you lived in both.
I've lived in both. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the same thing could be said of Seattle or even like Austin. Texas is known as, you know, a very conservative place, yeah, per se. Austin is, you know, this beautiful bubble of liberal gloriousness. Okay. Weird, odd, yeah, lovely. Yeah. And you will find that in every state.
Okay.
I think that every state of the U.S. is worth visiting and keeping your eyes open for the good parts about it. Because unfortunately, we get a lot of news of just the negative in some places. Mm-hmm. And it'd be good to look past that.
Yeah. Okay. So, cool. How do you deal, or how does the community deals with the legacy of the LGBT community? We mentioned the Stonewall rights. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is important to keep in mind and to talk about within the younger generation even, or is that easily forgotten?
I think it is imperative for us to remember, mm-hmm, our history, mm-hmm, both as a country and both as a community within that country.
Okay.
And to understand that, I think this World Pride coming up in June in New York is going to be an incredible experience for anybody that's able to attend, because you'll learn a lot about the history just by being among people that lived it. We have living history,
yeah,
through friends and family members.
It's 40 years ago? No?
50.
50.
50 years ago.
There goes my math.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I think it was 50.
Yeah, it's 69.
Yeah.
2019, okay, yes.
So it is definitely, it's a very important thing for us to read up on our history. Mm-hmm. I remember like one of the first books that I read about it was like Velvet Rage.
Okay.
It was a beautiful book to just read up on that, okay, sort of history and, yeah.
Yeah, also in the queer community in, for example, Belgium, mm-hmm, these Stonewall riots are also very important to mention as a some kind of start of a new kind of activism. Mm-hmm. Like
new movement.
Yeah, like people started to go against the police and the government and say, here's a line and we don't take it no more. And it's beautiful to see that this is a world, important event for the world, the queer world.
Of course.
And not just, and the remarks I hear a lot nowadays are that the most prides and the most marches are not political enough. They are about feathers and joy and look how happy and accepted we are.
Yeah.
And not about, we are not there yet. There's not so much to fight for. And
we are not there yet. There is still a lot to fight for. Mm-hmm. We still have a very long way to go. And however, that shouldn't keep us from celebrating who we are, because
indeed,
it's really,
yes,
the joy that we put out there that helps bring somebody that may not be familiar with our community. If they see that joy and, yeah, that expression, it allows them to know that we accept you. You're welcome in our bubble of,
yeah,
love.
I agree. Yeah.
So I,
yeah,
think that we shouldn't discount, mm-hmm, the, you know.
Yeah. So focus on the positive elements.
But make sure you're going to get nitty gritty when you need,
yeah,
to as well.
Yeah. Especially if you watch the news, the world news, like in Eastern Europe, some horrible things are happening.
Of course.
Chechnya and in African countries where the death penalty is brought.
Brunei stoning right now.
Yeah.
That's a huge.
It's reinstalled again. So it's, yeah.
There's a lot of reinvigoration of, mm-hmm, those negative thoughts and practices. And it feels like that, it's become acceptable in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it is up to us as individuals to help steer that conversation back,
yeah,
to where we,
yeah,
can.
And that was the, and that was the frightening thing about the Trump story, mm-hmm, that, okay, we're somewhere in Europe or somewhere in America. And then suddenly it goes down again. Like, oh no, we cannot. We're
two
building
steps forward,
we're
one
building,
step back.
Yeah, we're building something and then it all gets destroyed by one strange man. So
yeah, it's important to not get too disheartened by it, because it is very easy to listen to the words that come out of, you know, that administration and get very discouraged. And it's up to us to really, you know, fortify ourselves and continue a positive message and remember that there's good to be found and to be presented, and, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
It'll get better. Like, it'll continue to get better as it does, as it always has, because we will push it forward.
All right. When you moved to Europe, did you feel like a different atmosphere around the LGBTQ plus? Or was it just same as New York?
I don't know. Last year, my boyfriend and I traveled to a lot of different places. So we spent a lot of time in Spain, but we also went to Morocco. We went to Georgia, the country. Mm-hmm. So we experienced, we were in Malaysia. We experienced a lot of different cultures last year as a gay couple traveling mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, an openly and gay couple?
Openly gay couple.
Also in the North African countries.
Yeah. Well, that's where we still had to, you have to be mindful and be aware of the culture and learn as much as possible. And we picked the places where, you know, we did a lot of research and learned about them.
Okay.
But I'm also eager to understand their culture as much as possible. So in the countries where, like Madrid, we feel very comfortable walking hand in hand mm-hmm. anytime, anywhere. Other countries, we pay attention.
Yes.
You know, that's not to say that they're still not good people, and you know, I still never felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. But we were also wise about it, and paid attention, and were respectful of their culture as well.
Yeah.
So.
But then you end up in Madrid, or you chose Madrid to live.
Chose Madrid. Yeah.
Where you have the whole Sueca.
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 Sueca y Malasaña.
Yeah. Like it's a gay village.
it's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
Do you live close to that?
Yes.
Neighborhood?
Yeah. And we spent 3 months in Chueca last year.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's glorious. Good people, good restaurants, great clubs, very welcoming.
Yeah. And there, did you ever feel like a discrimination or a fear or something?
No. Not, never in the city center.
Okay.
No, actually, I mean, not in Spain yet, really. Okay. Even traveling around the entire country, very comfortable.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to my first question about Madrid.
Uh-huh.
Is there a difference between Madrid and New York? Or is it like you live the same life?
Oh, what do you mean? I mean, it's a very different culture. It's Spanish culture still. But it is a cosmopolitan city. It's the capital. So it feels like a large world capital.
Okay.
Which has similarities to New York, of course.
Yes.
But there's adjustments. We wake up later.
Yeah, you eat later.
We eat later.
Okay. Get sunburned more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. But not. There's not like there's a cultural shock.
No, not really. I mean, we have traveled a lot where I think cultural shock has it doesn't occur too often. Most we do a lot of research too, so that way we are aware and know what we're getting into. We didn't feel any sort of culture shock, really. There's a few things we have to learn, like...
Would have been so good for my podcast if you had a real shock. key moment in the talk. No,
Air conditioning is not common.
Don't force it.
That is not common.
Okay.
And sometimes hot water.
All right. Good. You, as a musician in Madrid, an openly gay musician,
mm-hmm.
You take your... background from New York, your heroes, your musical backgrounds, and you spread it here, or what is it? Do you? I'll start with another question. Do you have gay heroes and in art wise?
Gay heroes in art. I do. I'll be honest though. There are a lot of people that I've worked with. Mm-hmm. Like peers, like the people that I've done shows with are really one of my heroes right now is one of my dear friends, Paul Flanagan, that just opened a theater company in Seattle. It's called A Sensible Theater.
Shout out.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, very good.
It's all geared towards open diversity, LGBT entertainment.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, like I got to do their opening concerts, they do runway shows, so like they're just pushing inclusive art and musical theater, which I'm obsessed with. On a, I guess, a larger scale, goodness, I don't know.
No, it's it's good to
Peppermint. Peppermint is a big role model for me.
Peppermint.
Drag queen. Peppermint, okay. The drag queen.
I don't know her.
She is a trans woman drag queen from New York.
Okay.
Was on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
Incredible season. She's an insane artist, and she is an amazing activist.
Okay.
And she has really pushed trans activism and been at the forefront of a lot of those.
I should check her out.
You really should. You really should. So back in the day when I worked at a bar, at Therapy, a gay bar in New York, she did her shows there. Okay. And so watching that growth from the bars to the national and international stage, yeah. She's definitely a hero of mine.
Okay.
Cool. Watching what she's doing.
Cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a message for the next generation? I don't know how old you are, but there is always a next generation.
There's always a next generation, right?
Is it? Are you hopeful for them, or are you scared?
I'm very hopeful. I'm hopeful by nature. Okay. That's who I am. Okay. I really try not to buy into too much negativity. Mm-hmm. Because if you buy into it and if you propagate it, that's exactly what will come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that we need to focus on. We need to pay attention and be aware of the things that are happening around ourselves and not, you know, shut out the noise and just, you know, scroll and look for the pretty pictures. We still need to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And we have so many new platforms. I'm a little jealous of, you know, baby gays that are coming onto the scene now because they have so many opportunities to connect with the community. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing that even I didn't have. You know, I was still on AIM, Instant Messenger. Like, those were, like, there's so many ways to connect and get involved now. I'm incredibly hopeful. We have good people, good community.
All right.
I think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. And the fact that you are willing to share your story here on the podcast, mm-hmm. I think that's also a good thing, that people share their stories and let people know.
We need to.
The fact that you're hopeful, but also where you come from, and that's, it's not a path, a straight line. We all have our ways to where we are now. And
we really do.
Because when you watch the gays on television shows, it's sometimes you, I don't know, I'm not 15 anymore, but I can imagine that you think, oh no, is it just a happy, happy, joy, joy laughter thing? And then and the more art movies and the interviews, and then you broaden your horizon. And,
true. Yeah. Mainstream media doesn't have as much representation as we need to have. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's definitely still severely lacking. However, we're in the digital age. Yeah. There are mediums, there's YouTube, there is, you know, Netflix, there are ways to find more and more representation every day. And it's up to us as artists to continue pushing that through to the major producers as well and the major players. Because the more that we demand it, the more that will happen.
Yes.
And that will allow, you know, younger people to see more of, you know, who they are and learn, say, and understand there are people out there.
Yeah, they are the content creators of tomorrow, of course.
They really are. So absolutely are. They are.
Cool. It's good that we have an optimistic ending. It was an optimistic interview overall, so I'm smiling.
Good.
Good. I skipped one question.
Hmm.
And I thought it was a great start, but I skipped it.
What was it?
Reese, can you sing something for us?
Oh my goodness.
I know you had 2 days of conference here in Valencia.
Yes.
We saw you late last night, so maybe the voice is not.
We enjoyed our time here, is what you're saying.
It was a good time, yes.
We have fiestaed along with the Spanish.
So, but it's 6 o'clock in the evening.
Is it
2 hours before dinner?
I'm sure it's
dinner.
Awake now. Yeah, oh yeah.
But you are awake for a long time.
It's true.
So it's warmed up a little bit. Or,
hey,
yeah, it's awake. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this, for taking the time. We're going to head to the closing party.
Yes.
In 2 hours. They call it the networking event, officially. But we all call it the...
The closing party.
The closing party, yeah. Of course.
We make new friends and continue enjoying.
Yeah. You have your train at 9 in the morning?
I do.
Yeah, just be sure to be at your hotel at 8 so you can pick up some stuff.
Yeah, it's Spain. That's exactly when the club will close.
Okay. This was another episode of the Gay Tapes podcast with Rhys Gilliatt.
Gilliatt, yeah.
Is it?
Nailed it. It's fine. It's perfect. Okay. You're beautiful.
I'm beautiful.
Hey.
He said it.
Bye.
The Gay Tapes.